Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Back as you live and breathe with the Eurobash duo. Back in the same room as Noel McGrath, feeling the energy from Noel McGrath, all that Southside energy. How are you feeling over there, mate?
Loads of energy today.
Eurobash 58, 5-8, amazing, amazing stuff. It's a bank holiday weekend, but we don't take no goddamn holidays. No. That's what we do here.
No.
How are you? Tell me all about your weekend.
Shit.
Crap. Not a lot of places to go with that. No.
I don't want to talk today.
All right. Well, look.
No, it was good, man. No, it was good. It was good. Lots, too much mixed martial arts on, too much sport on, fed up with sport. I want it all to end. And just people, stop playing sport, people. Don't do it. Don't participate in anything that's going to be good for your life. Just drink and just have a great time.
That's it. That's sound advice, I must say. I was out celebrating the lovely Elaine Slater's
happy birthday, Elaine. Birthday.
This weekend, so I'm glad we are later on in the weekend because I was pretty bad on Saturday morning, to say the least, and I had to wake up and watch all of that lovely UFC Singapore card, but it was good crack.
Oh, what a morning of sports.
It was decent, wasn't it?
It was. I didn't leave the TV till like 8 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, yeah. I brought home 2 slices of DeFontaine's pizza. You know how much that means to me.
Yeah, it's good.
And, you know, I'm back in with the rents as we save for this mortgage. And what did me ma do? Woke up.
Threw it
straight up. I was nearly fucking in tears. So I didn't eat all morning. Watched the Singapore card. So that finished up about 4. And Ma's like, come out of the office. Like, oh, what's the crack? And she's like, how's it going? And I was like, yeah, I'm just going to go down and stick on this pizza now. And she's like, did you want to keep that, did you? And I was like, what? She's like, yeah, it's just put it in the bin there. I was like, are you?
Oh,
what?
No.
I was like, what bin? Oh, we'll take it out of the bin if it's still in the box. And she's like, no, I'll put the pizza.
Did you get pepperoni?
Put the pizza. Yeah, I got pepperoni and cheese. It was.
That's heartbreaking.
Oh,
it is, especially when you've
when
had
I've taught in advance,
a few drinks as well.
Skulled, drunk, and yeah. I was like, I'm going to get pizza that I can eat tomorrow as the fights.
Yeah,
in my break
sucks.
Between UFC and Cage Warriors, but alas, it was gone.
I got up for the Ruby. England
up
and New
for
Zealand.
The
and what did I say last week? Excuse me? Did I
yeah,
not say England
did,
would
yeah.
strangle New Zealand, the life out of them?
Yeah.
It happened. It happened. But then. You got up, watched that, then straight onto the UFC. Straight onto the UFC. Then straight onto the football. I watched football on Friday night as well, after I came home. And it was 9-0.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
I believe Ben Folks was actually at the match from... is Ben with the Athletic now?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And I think Ben was at the Southampton-Leicester game. He's been over on holidays. It's on his Instagram. So.
Savage.
Good with the pick. 9-0, 5-0 at halftime.
As rare as a hen's tooth, that scoreline anyway. So,
yeah.
I mean...
And it was a good weekend. It was a nightmare getting to work yesterday. I was working marathon on here in Dublin.
Oh, fuck that.
Shit house, man. It actually took me an hour and a half to get in because I totally forgot the marathon was on.
Yeah, I always do that. Like, I always go to the Phoenix Park on the day there's a big run on or something like that, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, why don't you just do it in the fucking Phoenix Park, idiots?
Do it with your back garden.
Yeah, exactly.
Just run through the halls of your apartment block.
All right, just don't do it.
Yeah, just come on. Stay at home. Put on a few pounds.
Don't do it, exactly. Eat shit.
Stop fat shaming me.
Live fast, die young, motherfuckers. All right.
Okay, well, let's kick it on. Let's do this mofo news.
This is number one bullshit.
Conor McGregor announces his return on January 18th. UFC seem to think that's what's happening. Junior Dos Santos is out of his main event in Moscow against Volkov. Greg Hardy has stepped in to replace Dos Santos. Peter Yan v. Uriah Faber will meet at UFC 245. Leon Edwards has said that UFC had offered him v. Woodley for the co-main of McGregor's return. Joy Herbert retains his Cage Warriors lightweight title with a sublime showing. Savage. We should be able to hear from Joy a little bit later. And Saladin Parnasse will meet Ivan Butchinger for the first defense of his interim featherweight title at KSW 52 on December 7th, which is already going to be headlined by Scott Askham v. Mamed Khalidov, a big one. And just finally, congratulations to friend of the show, Ben Cartledge, for being drafted across the war to officiate both Bellator events over the weekend. You know, it's a big nod to how far the European scene has come, and now Ben leading the line, just as Mark Goddard has with the referee and stuff, but from a judging perspective. So congratulations to Ben.
Yeah, well done, Ben.
Let's take a look back through a few of these. The January 18th return, we kind of said that, didn't we? For a long time this year, we've been saying it's going to be early 2020 when we see Conor. Not all that surprised by that announcement.
Nah, not at all. And I just think it's about time. We said last week it was at our time to get shit or get off the pot, so he's obviously decided to have a shit. And it's good to see him back in there. Looks very focused and a ballsy move to go over to Moscow and talk some shit about
we will
Habib
talk a
and
bit
the guys
about that later,
and,
yes.
Really sort of get the Russian interest sparking. So looking forward to seeing him back in there and seeing what he's going to bring. But I think we'll learn a lot of answers in January.
Dos Santos out of that main event against Volkov. Greg Hardy gets the opportunity to step in. I mean, I know he probably adds a lot to the event from a name point of view, but I mean, this is mental. They're trying to protect him with everything all the way up to this point, and now they're putting him against an elite heavyweight.
It's ridiculous. Right,
why is he getting that opportunity?
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
He doesn't know what to do in a fight, basically, at this stage.
It's crazy. It's really interesting, and I was pretty pissed off when I saw it, especially after what happens, obviously with the inhaler. And then beforehand, obviously, as we talked about there, we had the illegal blow. Like, why are the UFC rewarding this guy with a main event slot and potentially it's going to go fucking tits up for them again? Because two of his pro fights have gone tits up. So you're telling me a Moscow crowd's going to react well if a fucking fight ends like that, with them already knowing Hardy's past history of messing up fights? Absolutely ludicrous in the UFC. And it sets a pretty fucked up precedent from the promotion to do things like this.
They should not hesitate to match Greg Hardy with Cyril Gane, regardless of what happens in this fight.
Well, you know, Tyson Fury, fuck it.
If he's as good as Volkov, if he's good enough to fight Volkov, he's good enough to fight Gane. Peter Yan v. Uriah Faber. Savage. Last fight we've been saying for months that Uriah Faber should take. He's got balls like a Bengal tiger.
He always has, man.
But that's, I don't think it's going to go well for him.
No, I don't, man. But look at, listen, people wrote off Uriah in his comeback fight.
Very different.
I know it's very different, but still, it still was very impressive. A lot of people, like,
it was, I know it was.
I think Uriah was, like, actually a 3-1 underdog going into that fight. That's how, you know, the bookmakers looking at that. But yeah, listen, Peter Yan is an explosive beast of a character who obviously likes you a lot.
he didn't threaten my life in the last interview.
Exactly.
In
well, he did in the one before.
And the one before.
So no, listen, it is. You gotta just put your hands up to Uriah Faber. He's done that his whole career, man. He's never turned down a fight. He faced fucking Dominic Cruz head on. He faced, you know, anyone who's ever coming at him head on. And, you know, he is a pioneer for the sport. And, I don't think it's going to be a nice night for him. But I'm really looking forward to that fighting. It's a really, really good test for Peter Yan as well.
I love Leon Edwards versus Tyron Woodley. Look, he's got kind of pushed out of the title conversation. He's got pushed out of the Masvidal conversation. That's the fight that you want if you are Leon Edwards. Yeah. And if it was happening in January as well, he gets a win there, or Woodley gets a win there, and then there's a whole new conversation started based on what's happened in these last two fights with Masvidal Diaz and obviously Kamaru Usman and Colby Covington.
It is. It's
it's an opponent that's worthy, right?
Like, 100%. 100%. It puts him right up there. And like, if he is to get this win, and if he was to beat Tyron Woodley, and I think, like, in terms of his last number of matches, it's actually a fucking good matchup for Leon Edwards.
And he's made the right decision, as far as I'm concerned, by coming out and saying it, even though there's nothing signed yet, just to let people know. Because Tyron Woodley has turned down a lot of fights in the past. So if this doesn't happen, people will know that, look, Edwards had signed on the dotted line. He's at the top of the division. Who else does Woodley want to fight at this stage? Yeah, he's coming off a loss.
I think it must be frustrating for Leon, obviously, well, what's gone on. And then, you know, I think we'll even both agree that we want to see fucking Masvidal and Diaz as much as it did hurt. Everyone wants to see it. It was just unfortunate the timing. But, yeah, you got to feel sorry for him in terms of that. And I think he's, as you just said there, he's reacted and maybe planted the seed in their heads for them to get engaged in this scrap. And I think it's a very, very good idea. Obviously, what happened again to him with Masvidal Diaz must really have had him thinking and going, fuck, what am I going to do next here? Yeah. But hopefully this one's going to get sealed down on co-main event, as you said, for January 18th.
I think that's the one thing that will appeal to Woodley. Like, will he be able to get some of that McGregor pay-per-view money? Like, will he be able to get something like that?
Well, it makes sense for Woodley because, as you said there, you know,
with Conor,
he's back in the limelight. Yeah, McGregor, yeah. With Conor there. So, yeah, it makes sense for Leon as well.
What a statement, though, it would be if Edwards goes out and beats him after all the shit people are talking to Leon when he was talking about the Till fight.
No, I totally agree.
Look what Woodley did to Till, and then he goes out and beats Woodley.
But look at the platform it is. If you know, you can't be denied then because, you know, once Conor's back, I'm sure we'll be looking at 2 million pay-per-view buys. 2 million pay-per-view fucking eyes.
I don't know. People say it's going to be a lot less because of the ESPN thing, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, probably will be with the new ESPN thing.
1 million, say, would, like, everyone's kind of saying to me at the moment, like, 1 million is, oh my God, if you hit that during the ESPN era, you know? It's like, whoa. They're even saying with Conor, they don't know if he's going to be able to do it.
Nah, he will.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, he will. And I think, you know, those eyes with Leon Edwards in the co-main event as well, it's, you know, all that sort of fits in nicely for Leon and puts more eyes on Leon. So basically, he's putting himself in a position where he actually just can't be fucking denied if he goes out and beats Tyron Woodley.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. We will talk about Joy Herbert's fantastic display a little bit later. We're going to hear from Joy, and we're also going to have a look at that Cage Warriors card a bit more depth in part two of the show. But Saladin Parnas against Ivan Butchinger. You know, he's 4-0 so far with KSW. He's beaten the best veterans KSW have to offer. Trying to bring in a Russian stalwart, a 10-year veteran. A guy, you know, a lot of people probably know Ivan Butchinger more than mostly for that kind of being on the end of that highlight reel knockout to Conor McGregor, that left hook, the left hook that secured his second Cage Warriors title and opened the door to the UFC for him. So, you know, if you think that's all there is to Butchinger, you're very wrong. He's a former M1 Challenge champion. He's a former Cage Warriors champion. A brilliantly well-rounded fighter. And can't wait for that card now. With Khalidov and Askham and also Janikowski on that card. I mean, they're going to end the year with a big bang KSW. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how Parnas gets on against Butchinger. And what about Ben Cartledge? Just last of all, I already said congratulations, but great achievement, isn't it? You don't see that a lot, like a UK judge being flown across the water to officiate these events.
Yeah, and I think it just shows you how much of a proper job Ben does and how professional he is. Bar is tweeting, might I add, to me, slating me.
That was hilarious.
No, great guy, really professional. You know, we used to speak to Ben on the show, and you know, he's really good at breaking down and what criteria a judge should use.
Yeah, I understand it way more after talking to Ben. Like, yeah. You know, like he's literally taken me through things a number of occasions, and I'm sure we're going
to
have.
You know, he was the first one like, a couple of years ago to even put my idea of watching, you know, a fight with the commentary off. It's just something you just don't think of when you're.
That's your
home.
Idea, was it?
No, that was Ben's idea to me. But sometimes you know, 3-4 years ago, we wouldn't have really thought about that.
Yeah, Joe Rogan's been shouting about it for about 10 years.
Yeah, but listen, who listens to Joe really? Because he
only
does talk
25
a lot of
million people yeah, well, an like, episode.
More people listen to us, right? But you know, sometimes he just simplifies things a lot more in the criteria. And he puts it in the context of where I think you know, we sort of fucking maybe take a little bit away and we sort of implement it in our criteria and we're actually scoring a fight. So listen, props to Ben, great guy and a fantastic judge.
Let's get on to some talking points here. The McGregor press conference was a big deal last week. He seems to be very driven. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He seems to have a real bite in him, I guess you'd say, from them press conferences. Obviously, he announced that January 18 return, really blown away by the lack of traction it had in Ireland, to be quite honest, like the lack of buzz I had over here. Well, not really surprised, I guess, but, you know, interesting to see that nobody really seems to care all that much over here, right?
I think people care. I just think people are unwilling to actually sort of speak about it and talk about it because of obviously, you know, the incident in the pub when he cracked that old gentleman. I think that's put a lot of people off.
And other things we can't talk about just for legal reasons.
Of course. Yeah. But, you know, Ireland's a small place, man.
Fucking is.
You know, it really is. And I think the smaller the country and, you know, things go on in this country or something happens like that in terms of, you know, him punching a guy in a pub. And I think, you know, because we're so small, like, you walk fucking Dublin in 2 minutes. It's fucking tiny. It's not like America where you go to New York and there's 10 million fucking people floating around. Like, so I think the whole issue with the press conference there was really surprising to me, the amount of Russians. And, like, did you see, I think it was Dennis Gojko put, like, a shot
of the media asking for selfies?
Yeah, all that crap. Anyway, no, but the amount of media that were there in Russia, like, it was crazy.
I don't...
There
was a lot, but, I mean, there was the same amount at Stylebender's fight. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
No, but just for one guy, what I'm saying...
Well, he's the biggest star in the sport. Like,
yeah, I know, you know. Yeah, no, I'm still, you know, a bit taken back by the Russian media coverage on him.
Well, I was just taken back by them all queuing up for selfies after.
Well, that was just, you know... Stupid. Should be banned.
One thing that really didn't sit well with me in that... you look, we've said it, everybody said it, like, as I've said on Twitter, like, I'm not breaking any news here, but this is already getting very sinister. Like, I mean, it's already, like... The way he's talking about these things, the Dagestani people, it's gross. Like, it's not good. Here's the quotes here. Like, just imagine, right? If you can't put this into context, right? Like, imagine you're an Irish man and an English person saying this about you. He can run and he does run. It's in the nature of the Dagestani man to run. Every great Russian knows this about the Dagestani men. Every Chechen knows this about the Dagestani men. They run and they cower. That's it, and that's what you're seeing with Khabib. He is running and he is cowering away like he did in Brooklyn when I showed up that day. I mean, what do you think of that? Like, I think it's a terrible way. Look, I think it's even starting on a worse footing than the last fight started off on. You know, like, this, we are potentially, like, a number of years away from this fight, and that's how we're building it. That's the fire we're setting for that. Like, it's
well, was it ever going to get any better? Was it? Like,
well, that's worse. That's way worse, is what I'm saying. It's not. Better, like, it's not like it's gone, it's lowered the tone again, as far as I'm concerned. Like, you see that man throwing a bottle at Conor, like, that, a whole nation of people feel that way. Like, I mean, it's not a good thing to be selling a fight off of hate speech, like, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and you know, maybe, like, whatever, look, and
I understand that Khabib on Twitter, they had that back and forth, and Khabib said something very personal,
yeah,
you know, that's going on at the moment that we can't speak about. He attacked him that way. And I understand that would roil you up, but then, to then put it on the people is, I think, just very bad look. I think it's a very bad look for the sport.
Yeah, no, listen, you know, I agree. I don't agree with any of this chat between the two of them. I didn't agree with it when it was in, you know, obviously the build-up to the last fight. But, you know, there's no excuse for it. There isn't really.
I couldn't believe it, man. When he started going down that road, I was like, oh my God, man.
You know, do you think that was purpose, he said?
Oh yeah, like, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that he's trying to get the Russian people on his side.
Oh yeah, I agree with that. I think that's like, plainly obvious.
An incredible amount of civil war going on between these.
Yeah,
countries.
Yeah, there always has been. You know, it's a long history. You know, Chechnya, Dagestan, Russia, Chechnya, all that.
But look, just for you, for me, yeah. I'll say it to you. Yeah. I'm an English dude. He can run, and he does run. It's in the nature of Irish men to run. Every great Englishman knows this about Irish men. Every Scotchman knows this about Irish men. They run and they cower. How would that make you feel if someone said that to you?
I'd agree. No, obviously not. You know, obviously it would set a fire on me. And yeah, listen, that's what he
Red
wants.
Red Nile.
That's what he wants. And maybe, listen, you know, I think maybe there's a certain element that things got so out of hand the last time that he just doesn't give a fuck anymore. That's pretty much what we get from what he says these days, you know, and Khabib's pretty much the same in terms of, you know, walking out of media. Does he not want to address these issues? You know, that's the surprising thing to me, that he hasn't rebutted and he's walked out of press conference and things like that as well.
I think walking out of press conference is better than saying,
Irish people
are cowards.
It is. And, yeah, listen, it doesn't particularly sit well with me, this whole narrative between the two of them hasn't. But, like, you know, what do you say? What do you say? What
you
can
say
be done?
That's a disgrace. I guess that's all I'm saying.
I agree.
And just like with his, like, the thing that's surprising me the most about it, like, for a guy that's on such bad terms with the public at the moment, like, this isn't doing anything for him, right? Like, I mean, everybody keeps talking about, oh, the McGregor PR machine, how are you going to win people back over?
Well, I don't think people give a shit here, as you said, because it hasn't been covered. That hasn't been mentioned to me. Even, you know,
I guess his announced January 18 return has been mentioned.
That has been mentioned, but the press conference and the content, what was said in the press conference, has not been mentioned here. And I think, you know, a number of people have seen it, obviously the MMA community and people like that. But, you know, even people, you know, out for a point there, you're night.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. People are texting me going, like, did you hear what he said there? Like, I mean, oh, like, I don't feel like he represents us anymore. You know, like, I feel like, I mean, I know that's, a lot of people are saying that, but people are pretty, like, people were pretty dumbfounded by it. Like, they're like, what? Jesus.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But I think, you know, what I was going to allude to there was, you know, I think people here were aware that Conor was back fighting, you know, oh, McGregor's fighting again, but they didn't, maybe the casual fan didn't know the actual context of what was said in the press conference.
Yeah.
So I found that interesting. But, you know, they still know that he's announced that he's coming back to fight.
Yeah. The three-tier plan that he has, we're going to get on to the opponent next because Noel has some really good stuff on that. But the three-tier plan, the fight in January, then fight the winner of Masvidal Diaz, and then obviously look for this inevitable rematch in Moscow with Khabib Nurmagomedov.
Never happened.
My takes on that, January fight, great to see him back in there. Probably a good idea to fight Masvidal or Diaz because they're going to have a lot of hype coming off of that. But please don't do that fight in Moscow. If you're going to rematch those guys, I mean, just let's do it in America again or something, because I really don't see that going very well with that speech being used, all that stuff.
No,
being
I agree.
Used, driving
I, listen,
up.
It's not going to be in Moscow. That's bullshit. That's just Conor talking. They won't go near Moscow to do that fight. I guarantee you that.
They need to maximize profits. They have to do it somewhere else, right?
They won't. They should probably do it behind closed doors. If we're honest about it, might work out a bit better for everyone. But yeah, listen.
I'm actually sick of being like having to talk. About
stuff outside of mixed martial arts.
Just how much of a how frustrating it is at the moment. Do you know what I mean?
No, it's massively frustrating. But I suppose that's what comes with the territory.
Not being able to discuss it, everything as well is hard. I think.
But of course it is. It's and especially when you see some of the ill-informed.
Oh, man.
People on Twitter, and they're going, "Oh, Irish journalists. Sorry, mate. Do you fucking know the libel laws here?" You know, you have to do them here as well. Like, I've had two sit downs in the last year, and I still don't feckin' understand half of them. But I know what you can and cannot say. And listen, just look up the real book, man. You and McKenna, I think, put out actually a decent tweet about what
everybody
you can
has
say.
Like. But I mean, yeah,
that's it.
About the January 18th fight, you had some good intel there. Yeah. You believe it's Donald Cerrone, right?
I am convinced it's Donald Cerrone. Duke Rufus last week, obviously, you know, Andy Pettis and him fought before, and Duke put out a tweet, in his Facebook page, saying that both fighters...
That's impressive,
fighters,
a tweet on a Facebook page?
Sorry,
fucking
yeah,
hell.
Shut up. basically, Duke put out a post saying that they both agreed, the UFC had offered Team Pettis Donald Cerrone, and they both agreed to do the rematch, and obviously... The news of McGregor's return to the cage when he had that press conference on Thursday, was it Thursday? Wednesday? Thursday? Whatever Wednesday. Day it was. I got on to Mr. Rufus, and Duke said that the UFC said Donald Cerrone was now unavailable to fight.
Dun, dun, dun.
So that leads to me saying that Conor McGregor is going to be fighting Donald Cerrone in January, I'd imagine. And I think maybe it's just about getting maybe Donald's side over the line now. I think Conor's obviously must
did
have
not,
agreed on
did not, did you not see he tweeted that great picture of the Budweiser beside the proper 12?
Oh, did he? Well, Donald loves stirring the shit like as well. Like he's always posting stuff. You know,
I
other,
love that.
Fights.
I love that the Irish people are once again just represented by alcohol.
Yeah. It's great, isn't it?
Well, back in the 1800s.
But no, listen, it is. You know, we talked about this fight before. I liked it before. I know you didn't particularly like it. Yeah, it does make sense, I think.
It makes more sense than Frankie Edgar.
Yeah, it does. It does. It does. And I think, you know, Cowboy's obviously a guy who's been up and down and he's been fluttering around, hasn't been really on a massive swing of momentum or shift of momentum. We don't know where Conor McGregor's at in terms of his fighting ability. So I think it's going to be a very interesting one. It's a risky fight for both guys. And I think for Conor, it's obviously a massively risky fight. But it's one I could see him actually overcoming. But I think that is the fight we're going to see. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think, based on what you got there, I think I think it's very likely. And of course, Ariel Helwani tweeted that Gaethje and Cerrone were front runners as well around the same time as you were getting this. Yeah. And one thing I would say though, with Ali managing Justin Gaethje, does that give him, like, I mean, we've seen it so many times, it comes down to one of Ali's guys against another guy, and it usually goes with the Ali guy, you know?
It does. Yeah, it does. But I think Conor will have a big say in who he's going to fight in this
combat. I don't know,
but
it appears from the press conference and what he's saying, that he did a press conference in Kiev, I believe.
He said he knew the opponent, though.
He did, but he does seem to be at loggerheads with the UFC. He referred to them as a crafty company. He referred to them as switching the goalposts on him and stuff like that. So, you know, as good as the intel is, I wouldn't be surprised if Gaethje suddenly got that fight. And I don't think that's one of the worst fights for him.
Yeah, I think it's a terrible fight for Conor, just because of obviously what Gaethje brings. But
they're both pressure fighters, both well used. Like, I mean,
yeah, and I think, you know, let's be honest, I think, you know, Justin Gaethje probably has more skills in terms of his wrestling than Donald. He's stronger in that area, and it's an area that we don't see an awful lot from him. But he actually is such a good fucking wrestler. But yeah, I would not be surprised on that. But you would think if Conor was to agree in a fight, it would be the Cowboy one. It would make more sense. I think there's more of a chance for him to make a statement there if he wants to really start looking at this Habib fight next year at some point.
Absolutely. Just finally, as we're talking about Conor, Tyson Fury has said he's going to move to MMA. This time it's a lot more well-received than it was the first time, I believe. He said he was going to fight Cain Velasquez, and people were like, ho, ho, ho.
Someone's tweeting Greg Hardy. I think that's a great idea if Greg wins in Moscow. Do the two of them. Why not, like?
Yeah.
Why not? And, like, they're both, you know, good names, good sell, good draw. Throw them fucking, you know, co-main event on a Habib or McGregor pay-per-view sometime next year. Why not, like?
It's hard enough to get Conor McGregor to fight these days. Yeah. Never mind train Tyson Fury.
I don't know where he's getting that from. Like, imagine him trying to wait for Conor. Oh yeah, I'll be down there in an hour. You'll be 6 hours later.
Do you want
to
train at 4 a.m. every
rubbish? Like, the chances of that, I presume he's just talking about coming over here working with.
Wouldn't be surprised if they did have a chat somehow about him and Conor, but. To think that Conor's going to be training him. Come on, man.
Rubbish. Yeah, listen. Pinch of salt. We'll take that one, mate. But listen, you don't know if Fury. Fury's a mad bastard, man. If there's one guy that would do it, it would be fucking Tyson Fury.
I love him.
So,
he's such good crack.
He is good crack. But listen, do we really want to see it?
It's the heavyweight champion of the world, man.
Yeah, that's the intriguing thing, I think, about it, is that.
One of the biggest names in boxing.
It's not like
doubt.
That flute last week, Jake Hager from the WWE fighting. It's obviously, you know, different. But you know what I mean? I like to see it. I really would. I think it'd be great. Great for martial arts as well. And it just sort of shows you, where's boxing at again at the moment? It's sort of gone.
Heavyweight boxing's
down.
Great at the moment, man.
But yeah, but Fury not there, is it?
It's basically like they're all. I think
Fury,
like,
sort of brought it back to life, dude.
I know, but basically Fury is putting himself in the McGregor situation where he has so many options each way that his promoter will have to pay him way more money.
Of course.
Eddie Hearn fucking shit in the bed every time he does one of these interviews. It's like, for fuck's sake. He's not Eddie Hearn, actually.
Yeah, he is, I think.
Is he?
Yeah,
I don't have a fucking clue. But we'll have Izzle be on giving us debt there if he's not one of Hearn's guys.
But listen, it's been a weird week. You know,
I don't think he is one of Hearn's guys because he's always giving Joshua and Hearn shit. Anyway,
who
doesn't
cares?
Matter.
Fuck boxing.
Yeah.
No, listen, it's been a weird week, and I think, you know, obviously a lot of fucked up shit going on in mixed martial arts. There is, like, you know, in terms of the press conference, all that, like, it's just hard sometimes to compartmentalize and where to put things. You get a bit muddled, but yes, let's just hopefully look forward to, you know, something happening and something fun happening and good happening in 2020, because I think sort of we need some injection of positivity back into mixed martial arts.
I feel like that's happening, and then when Conor comes back, it's gone back to this fucking.
Yeah, but I think Israel was great a couple of weeks ago. That
yeah, Israel. Look at Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz not talking shit, all that kind of stuff. We'll probably talk about the Nate Diaz situation when we're previewing the card later on. But look, from one elite heavyweight and Tyson Fury to another, Mr. Cyril Gane, who went to 2-0 with the UFC with a second submission win. Look, the audio is not fantastic here because Coach Fernand and Cyril rang me while they're in the airport. Now, we're lucky to get a word with them at all. So really, really grateful that they had the time for us. They're doing great things in the UFC. I love watching this guy fight. I've been onto him for a long time. He was in one of my prospects lists, I think earlier this year, when he was TKO champion at just 2-0. A fantastic fighter, a huge, huge future ahead of him. And he told me before the fight that he thinks he's going to be the man to headline UFC's first event in France. So we'll leave you with this, and we'll be back in about 10 minutes. And now, once again, we are joined by the man who was the talk of the town after UFC Singapore, Mr. Ciryl Gane, who uncharacteristically scored another submission win in his second UFC outing. That's 2 in 2 appearances, and of course, he got that big bonus as well. We have Coach Fernand Lopez here helping us translate. So a big hello to Coach Fernand and Ciryl. How are you guys doing?
Hello. Hello, hello. Hey, hi. I'm fine.
So la première question?
No, yeah, I'm fine. Ciryl's sitting fine. He's fine. So we are glad to be in this process. So we're yet to run. If you have any, we're ready.
Yes, I was just wondering, is he surprised that he got another submission win? Because he said after his debut that he was surprised he got a submission.
No.
Cette fois-ci, c'était vraiment pas une surprise. Cette fois-ci, ça a été vraiment travaillé en amont. Depuis déjà le gym, même en factory, mais aussi pendant la fight week.
This time that wasn't a surprise because we work on that. We work specifically on some submission, including the ankle lock in the gym and in the fight week in Singapore. So that wasn't a surprise at all.
How much does the bonus mean to him? Is this a life-changing amount of money for him, or is it just nice to be coming home with some more money? Is it a big life-changing amount of money for him?
Est-ce que le bonus de combat change ta vie? Qu'est-ce que ça signifie pour toi? Est-ce que ça change?
Ça signifie beaucoup pour moi parce que j'ai jamais touché une telle somme et une chose est sûre, c'est que je passe à n'importe quoi avec ça.
Okay. Yeah, I said that that bonus is mean a lot for him, and because this is the first time that he have that kind of amount of money, and for sure, we'll make sure to use it properly for a good cause.
Does he know what he wants to spend it on yet? Has he thought about how he will spend it?
Okay,
Ce que je veux avec mon bonus, c'est pouvoir mettre ma famille à l'abri. Donc, investir dans un logement plus grand que celui dans lequel je suis actuellement.
Okay. He said that he's on the way to buy a new house, and that bonus will help him to finalize the acquisition of the new home for his family.
Amazing, amazing. For a guy like Ciryl, who is so famous for his knockout power, does he think about his first knockout in the UFC a lot? How dramatic does he think his first knockout will be?
Le fait que tu aies deux soumissions te met la pression, et est-ce que tu as l'impression que les fans vont te voir mettre un KO pour voir si tu as le knockout?
Non, ça ne met pas du tout la pression. Ça ne met pas du tout la pression parce que je n'ai pas spécialement envie de prouver aux fans que je peux faire ci ou faire ça. J'ai déjà prouvé d'ailleurs que je peux mettre KO.
He said I don't have any pressure on that kind of thinking because I know what I'm capable of. I know that I have knockout power. I proved that already in the past with the big gloves in the Muay Thai or kickboxing. So I'm not worried about that. I proved that in my previous fight before the UFC. I'm not chasing the KO that will come. When the opportunity will be there, I will be there to knock people out. So I'm not rushing for that.
How close did he feel the fight was to be finished at the end of the first round? He was landing big shots on the ground, and I felt that the fight could have been stopped. Did he think it could have been stopped?
Est-ce que tu penses que tu as dû être à ton premier round? Est-ce que tu as pensé que tu as fait ce qui était nécessaire?
Non, je pense que l'arbitre a fait plus. Je pense qu'il aurait fallu que je sois soit un peu plus précis, So I might have to sign a second plus.
He said no. I said I think that the referee was fair enough. Because he should have been more precise, more accuracy. He should have more accuracy and eventually have two more seconds to finish the fight. But the fight was fair. The call was good.
Right. You know, for his next fight, I know Cyril doesn't like to call anyone out. He is called the good kid. But is there anyone in the division that he would like to fight? Maybe a veteran or somebody that is known more to fans. Is there anyone that he has his eye on that he would think would make for an interesting fight for his next fight?
Est-ce qu'il y a, il sait que tu t'appelles le bon gamin, que tu n'aimes pas provoquer les gens, périr les gens, parce qu'il y a quelqu'un qui te fait plaisir dans la division que tu vas affronter?
Non, j'ai personne aujourd'hui.
Ouais, non, I do not have any name. I don't have specific name in my face. He told me that it's just like he's looking forward to get busy. He just want to have a fight before the end of the year. That's it. No matter who, no matter where, no matter when. But he don't want he's trusting the matchmaking of the UFC, and that's it.
You say before the end of the year, Coach Fernand. Does Cyril want to fight? Does he have any date in mind that he could fight on? Because he is very active, right, at the moment. I was wondering when he would like to fight.
Il veut savoir pourquoi tu n'aimerais combattre. Pourquoi tu es si actif? Pourquoi tu n'aimerais combattre?
Parce que j'ai l'impression d'être comme un jeune entrepreneur, et un jeune entrepreneur, c'est une bonne forme d'activité.
I feel like it's like a new businessman that you just got to the activity and you need to invest yourself even more than an old businessman so you can have some income. So I feel like you need to work more. I feel like you need to keep busy and learn, because as a fighter, this is a job. And I feel like every time that you fight, you're not only winning the fight, but you know, so the experience, you feel like you're learning.
So he hoped maybe he could fight at UFC 245 on December 14th. Would that appeal to him?
You mean the which one? The
in Vegas?
The last one is the card in South Korea.
Yes, yeah. Busan, that's right, yes. He would like to fight there in South Korea?
Yeah, the city of Busan. Yeah, why not? I think we have I have a big event that I'm launching with one of the powerful mass media in France, named Vivendi. That event will take place 14 December in Dakar, Senegal, in Africa. And friends, and Cyril will be a guest in that event. So for sure, he will not be available to fight in Vegas that day, because most of the fighters, the good fighters in France and Europe, will be there to see that fight, which is one of the major events that will be starting on the 14th December. So
amazing.
So we probably want him to be in one of the cards before that, if there's some injury or whatever that they need someone, or then add a new fight in the Busan or whatever it is, and then he'll be available. He'll make himself available because now he's free injury.
Who would you like to see him fight, Fernand? I mean, I know Cyril doesn't like calling people out, but do you have someone in your mind that you would like to see him fight next?
Now, to be honest with you, at this point, in my mind, there are always people that I would like to see him, because I know the game, because I know people there, I know the fighter there, I know what they can bring in the table, but at the same time, I trust the matchmaking. What I know is that, like, in the next card, in Washington, there will be like two heavyweight fight. That means there's four people there. If someone get any problem there, Siri will to step in, no matter who he is.
Amazing, amazing. Coach Fernand and Cyril, thank you guys so much. You have joined us from the airport today, and I know you guys are running around and very busy, so thank you so much for joining us again, and I can't wait to see what's next.
Thank you. I'm very sorry for the communication. We are in translation, so it's not easy for us to have the good spot to talk with you without having a lot of noise, but thank you to have us. It's MMA Fighter.
No problem, my friend. Thank you so much, guys. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
And thank you very much to Coach Fernand Lopez and Cyril Gane after another submission win. Who'd have thunk it, huh? The knockout artist with the fantastic heel hooks. A bit like myself, to be honest.
Yeah, but, savage.
But moving on from that, let's take a look at the arse load of MMA that happened last weekend to the joy of
too
me
much.
And Niall. Fucking hell. Can you give us just one night off over the weekend?
Jesus.
All right, here we go. Let's start off with the main event. Damian Moya and Askren. I love this. I thought it was brilliant. Really, really good fight. I really enjoyed it. There were so many intricate little things that happened in their grappling sequences. Unfortunately, it's the best performance of Ben Askren's UFC tenure, and it's a loss. But I thought it was a really good fight. Like, I mean, competitive throughout. You know, really enjoyed it. And Moya, who's either 42 now or goes 42 very soon, looked incredible. Really, really intricate detail. And for me, he has shown again why he's one of the greatest jiu-jitsu proponents to ever fight.
Yeah. To be honest, Jamal, I thought he was going to spark him out in the feet at one stage.
The left hands, he was landing him left hands.
He's just constantly landing. And listen, Askren looked really poor, I thought, in the feet. Like, really poor.
Yeah, he looks really cumbersome and awkward. But did you notice, like, as the fight wore on, he started to have a lot more success? Like, I mean...
Because I think Damien tired a little bit.
He never looked like Muhammad Ali. Like, but I'm saying he made a correction from earlier in the first round. He just kept on walking into the clinch. That's what he was trying to. And then in the second round, he was using these stream of jabs. He threw about four jabs. But he actually started connecting with them. And then connecting with uppercuts in the clinch as well.
That's right.
I mean, he's not going to be an elite striker ever. But I did think, as ugly as it was to watch, it was effective at times, you know?
Yeah. But I actually thought he was going to get knocked out in the first round at one point, and that would have been, imagine Damien might have knocked him out.
Yeah.
Could have been walking papers right there. But, like, yeah, you know, you would love, obviously, the jits element of Maya. It was fascinating to watch. Some of the scrambles in the deck were amazing. Really good finish, and yeah, listen, but like, it's one of those fights though, Petey. I feel like where does either guy go with a win at the moment? Like,
yeah, I mean, I don't really know, like, because Moya, I mean, as good as he is, and he's on a great win streak, he's proved time and time again that he can't really put at the very top.
That's my point. And then Ben Askren, you know, a lot of people will feel, and a lot of people did feel, as though, you know, obviously the Robbie Lawler stoppage then, you know, got sparked in 5 seconds and then came in here, loses again. Where is his stock at the moment? Well, it's very, like, tough to gauge it, man.
I see a lot of even media members going ham on this, like, oh, like, you know, he's crap and stuff.
Look,
I never thought Ben Askren was the best welterweight
in the
world.
We've said this for...
I've never thought he was even remotely in the same...
league, yeah.
Nowhere near.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, I never thought that...
We've talked about this for years.
Yeah, like, I expect him to lose all those fights.
Yeah,
all
right? I agree.
So, I mean, I understand when you talk and you put yourself out there, you're going to be open to a lot more shit than the next person. Like, I mean, his build-up to that Masvidal fight made Masvidal a star.
Yes.
That's, like, there is a power to it. There's absolutely no doubt about it. But you're going to get it in the neck when you lose. But he fought really well. Like, I mean, there was some very interesting things he did in that fight that I was geeking out on a bit.
A lot of people
are only talking about, oh, he lost. Like, they failed to even reference the fact that he had a competitive fight there with Damian Moya. Now, I did, full disclosure, I know Ben Askren thought he won the first two rounds. I scored them both for Moya.
I did as well.
Because, look, even though he was having more success from the first half of the second round, as soon as he took Moya down, Moya attacked him with a triangle, omoplata, mounted him, took his back. I mean, that's beating the shit out of someone if you're on the feet. You know what I mean? That is annihilating someone if you're on the feet. So, look, I just don't get it. I get it from the fans. You're going to anticipate they're going to get onto you. Oh, what do you think of that?
Yeah,
you got the full buffet again, blah, 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 whatever. But like people rejoicing in his defeat.
It's pretty sad.
From the other side of the camera is pretty weird.
I agree.
But Stevie Ray, biggest UFC win of his career?
Easily, hands down. And I think Michael Johnson, in terms of what he did in the fight, you know, was the first round or second round that was really close?
I thought first and second were close, to be honest.
I think one of them was maybe slightly closer, but I actually think I had maybe Johnson two up. Was that right in the first two rounds? And then a 10-8, and the last could have been even a draw.
You could have been right there. I think a lot of people might have scored Stevie the first one. They might have, because he landed a lot of leg kicks. And then...
The first one for Stevie, second one for Johnson, and then, you know, you're looking possibly at a 10-8 in the last. But maybe if you look again at the time of that round, it isn't a 10-8. Like, Johnson did for 2.5 minutes probably have the
upper.
Tuned him up in that round, looked really good on the feet. But again, Michael Johnson, we've seen this, like, his last three or four fights, I think the featherweight, you know, the featherweight experiment was a total waste of time, really, for him, because he's just such a big guy, and, you know, he's a 155er out and out. But if you looked at it again, man, he's been, you know, he's made a little error that's fucking cost him a fight. And it's actually happened in his last three or four fights. He looked so well, and one error has literally cost him his last three or four fights.
I don't know if it was his error as much as it was Stevie being very smart in that situation. Well, I mean, he had a last roll of the dice situation right there. Like, he had to make something happen, and he fucking did. That takedown was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
And the work rate he put in as soon as
he
got him down.
The elbows at the end as well.
He didn't stop, man. And I think the biggest mistake Stevie Ray made in this fight is calling for a bonus afterwards.
Yeah, we were chatting about
he probably would have fucking got one if he didn't do it.
I want that kid to have a minibus, Dina.
I hope he gets his minibus. Yes, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, big time.
But
Stevie's a good lad.
He is.
And listen, very, you know, deserve. I had no problems with the scorecard. I know some people are moaning about it. I saw some uproar online.
Oh, really? MMA fans were moaning about something?
Not even fans.
Breaking news.
There was fighters and stuff as well that were giving out about it. But yeah, I had no problem with it. And, you know, best wish to Stevie, but I'm just disappointed with Michael Johnson.
I can understand Johnson. Like, when I knew it was going to be close decision either way, because the first two rounds are close. I'm like, whoever wins this, or if it's a draw,
it's no problem.
People are going to be scratching their heads. I don't have a problem with it.
But frustrated, I'd say, from Michael Johnson's point of view.
Oh yeah, the last 2 minutes of the fight basically cost him the whole fight. Yeah. Let's move it on then to Mr. Benito Ayush. Was fantastic. I don't know if you saw that fight.
I did.
All just 2 minutes of fucking brilliance, really.
It was class.
Cyril Gane, of course, we spoke to him earlier. That heel hook finish.
Unbelievable.
He's looking brilliant. It's going exactly how he had planned.
Some tank in the boy as well. Like,
oh, stop, man. For the size of
him. Yeah, it's amazing.
He's still very light in his feet in the third round and stuff like that. I mean, he doesn't look like a guy that's killing himself to make that weight, but he's all there, man. He's a bona fide heavyweight. There's no doubt about it.
Deal whoop his ass, but anyway, yeah.
Look, yeah, we can't introduce you to this division. No. Salikov gets his third win in a row. The Sanda Master showcasing some fabulous kicking skills.
Yeah, it was unreal.
En route to victory over Loreno Starpoli. Really,
those body kicks.
Yeah, the pin and back kicks, beautiful. Like, I mean, this guy came in and he lost the decision, I think, and everybody was like, or else he got submitted, I can't remember. And everyone was like, oh, well, that was a load of bollocks. He's huge in China, like a huge name. He called for the leech after that fight. Yeah. It's a brilliant fight to make for China. Brilliant fight to make for them. Just in terms of European, we'll go. Fiziev got a decision win. Movsar Evloviev got a win over Enrique Barzola, who you think looks like Alexei Sanchez.
He does indeed.
We learned on the night. Sergey Pavlovich called that one. An early KO win over Maurice Green. Really bounced back from that first loss to Alistair Overeem.
He's a long way from his gold medals, isn't he now?
Whoop, whoop. And Luke Binmi, I just thought I'd mention, from Thailand. Absolutely phenomenal with a split decision win there. She looks vicious as fuck. I can't wait to see her fight again.
She does.
From a European perspective, the most important thing after UFC was probably Cage Warriors, because there was a Cage Warriors title on the line. And as we know, they dictate to a large extent who will be the next person in the UFC. And I have to tell you, I absolutely believe Joy Herbert is ready for the UFC after that. He completely overwhelmed Cain Carrizosa. Like, I mean, it wasn't... He looks so fucking fluid when he's striking, doesn't he?
And the other thing maybe that wasn't caught up on, he's really improved in terms... And we talked about it as well. He took a lot of... You know, he came back from adversity. There was none of that in this fight. He was actually defending exceptionally well. He took maybe one or two shots in the whole fight, even up against the cage. And once he had him in the clinch, man, it was... You know, there was nothing that Carrizosa could do. He was fucking owning
him.
He was
out on his feet.
Owning him.
He could not believe. I don't think you could actually believe how quickly Joey Herbert was able to hit him with his backhand, tune him up to the body, knee him. Like, he was doing fucking everything.
Yeah.
I guess the one thing people would say about Herbert, based on one fight, really, was against... O'Keefe.
Okay,
was when he got taken down and controlled. But the second he got up, he knocked O'Keefe
out.
He
came back, and that's what I mean, you know, adversity.
But I guess, like, I think he defended his takedowns very well against Kairi Zouza. He was
but my point is, there's been solid improvements everywhere.
He looks fucking amazing.
Since the McKee fight, and I think it's a no-brainer now to sign him. And Cage Warriors were obviously playing that up all week as well. And to go out and do that against the UFC vet, to put that fucking knee up and just, boom, you're out. Like,
if you're overwhelming someone who was determined to be good enough to fight in the best league in the world at one stage in his career, if you're doing that to them...
But in one round as
well. Yeah, I mean, come on. Just get the paper out. Definitely. And look, as I said to before, and we'll speak to Joey Herbert about this later, I'm sure Joey's very confident he's going to get that UFC contract. But if he isn't, Mason Jones v. Joey Herbert, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
I saw Paddy the Baddy is also saying he's pretty confident that Joey will be signing. He's saying he should meet Desme. Mm. I mean, I can see Mason Jones having some complaints about that, but I'll take any of those fights any way they go.
Yeah, no,
you know,
listen quality, but I think Joey deserves that now as well.
But from a UFC perspective, as I was saying on Twitter yesterday, Leon Edwards is not going to stop badgering them about this Birmingham event. Mm. To do a Birmingham event, you need more Birmingham fighters. We don't know what Tom Breeze's status is at the moment, who would be a huge name in Birmingham, but Joey Herbert's there. And as Graham Boylan said straight after it, he thinks it's time. That means he's willing to discuss this with the UFC. Get him on board. Yeah. This kid is as exciting as it comes. I really feel like, wow, he is an exciting guy to watch, isn't he? Jesus.
Black Country Badger, as you call him.
I fucking called him that in the post-fight write-up by accident.
Oh, no.
And then, so...
Again.
He's Brad Warren sends it to you the next morning, the legendary Brad Warren. And I was like, oh my God, who did that? And he's like, you did. And I was like, what? You can't even remember. I was like, no way. And then he goes to me, I know, you weren't the only one. Sends me the graphic from Cage Warriors on the night. They had the Black County Badger.
Oh, Jesus.
A Euro-bashism making it all the way in.
There you go. And listen, a word for Brad as well. I've never heard as many unbelievables in one night from Brad. The commentary for the main card was fantastic. Yeah. And just, you know, he captivates people when you're watching. You get excited listening to him.
Him and Josh, man, they look a well-oiled machine. Some of you listen to some of the interactions they have. They're so quick. You know, when something suddenly happens, just straight away.
Pointing it out, and really exciting, great stuff, and good work, lads.
Morgan Charrier looks like a serious, serious dude, and I've been blown away by his fan base. Absolutely unbelievable fan base. Dean Truman is getting lit up still, which is not good to see, to be honest. Like, guys, your guy won, fucking leave it out. Truman, one thing is... seems to be accusing Morgan Charrier of steroid abuse or PED abuse of some kind. I guess, like, if you are anywhere apart from in the UFC, aces are wild, you know?
Yeah, it's a wild world.
I'm saying I think Morgan is on this or whatever, but I'm just saying for any fighter to do that, you have to realize that every single fighter you could potentially fight outside the UFC...
Yeah,
could be
of
on the
course.
Course.
It's just too expensive. You know, you can't get.
I can't recover in time, mate.
And stuff with water or whoever. Like, so, it's just the harsh reality of it. And listen, you know, Charrier looked fantastic from what we saw of him. Totally dominated Dean.
Dean's an animal, man. I agree. He's one of the best 145ers in Europe on his day. Even against Mads Burnell, he had a very competitive fight. I'd love to see Mads and Morgan get it on. I know that Mads has a fight booked against.
I don't know.
When in November?
Mads Burnell.
Oh, how do I not? I can't even think of who it is yet. I'm going to have to Google
that. Google it.
Did you see Chris Martin?
He had a few words for him as well after, obviously, in relation to that. And there was a bit, it seemed to be a bit about bad blood between himself and Sherry, obviously. The stuff, as you mentioned, on social media.
I didn't think it was bad as that, like, as the fans are treating Dean. I'm like, dude, come on, man. He talked like, I'm going to win. You know, whatever it was, like, you know. I just don't understand it, like how a person who's not involved in the fight can take so much joy. Like,
we are
badgering him in the comments, Dean is making accusations like that, it's going to happen. Steve Amiable is who Mads Burnell is taking on. Jesus, sorry about that. Chris Moyer returns.
Yeah, and retires.
What? Like, I mean, you're knocking on the door of the Cartwright fight here. Nah.
No, all right. Doesn't mind. And Jack Cartwright's like, "I'll
going
to knock you out," and he was like making death fucking cuts to him.
He's a bad motherfucker, isn't he?
He is.
Cartwright
coming in and his debut and winning the fucking title.
He's a bad motherfucker. You can just see him sitting there in the crowd. When I was looking at him in the crowd, I was like, "Oh, he's evil. He's an evil little
fucker." Him and his boys there. I would be sitting probably up in the stands if they were then.
Reminds me of a young Neil Seary.
He does actually a little bit, doesn't he?
Just don't go near that lad unless you have a blade on you.
Little critter. fucking hell, people.
He's a dangerous looking dude, though, man. I love that shit. But I was seeing that and him getting pissed off that they're after basically talking to you about this title and you're saying, "No, you're all right." He was like, I think he shouted something, but they got the camera on him straight after.
What did he say to me? He goes, "Oh, you don't want this," or I think it was something this year. I don't know what it was. But I know he goes, you'll get knocked out. Yeah. He goes, "Wah," like that. But listen, if the guy's heart isn't in it, you know, we always talk about that. Don't be getting in there and.
Well, you're just not going to get the same amount. If they're not going to pay you 20 grand, mate. Yeah. No one's going to pay you 20 grand.
Not outside the big promotions.
But even the UFC. Maybe your win and show will get you 20 grand, but no one's signing you for 20 grand.
100%.
Like, it's nothing to do with Chris Moyer not being a good fighter. He's obviously a fucking good fighter if he's beating Brian Boulan. It's just not going to happen like that.
Yeah,
you can't just call your price in this sport, unfortunately, because mine would be millions. Yeah. Perry Goodwin, what a debut at 45. He looked fucking brilliant.
Leg kicks were excellent in there,
but just to look
that
fit over that three rounds and going down to a lighter weight class, really impressed.
I think he needed to do it though.
Well, it's so hard to gauge because Reese was enormous.
Well, Reese is a fucking that's true. Reese looks like a middleweight, and a mind a welterweight. I agree. Look, really, really good. It was a dominant performance for me all three rounds, and
A great addition of 45 for me. To be honest, I think it's great. Like, I'd love to see Morgan v Perry if they're gonna make something. Let's see a knock. Mick Stanton continues to be unbelievably resurgent at middleweight. 3-0 in the weight class now. 3 consecutive wins. Certainly knocking on the door that James Webb title if James gets through Natoyas in November. I'd say.
Look very well as well. Really good main card. You know, picked him up on his.
Choked
him out. Was it rear naked choke in the end?
Rear naked choke,
rear
that's right.
Choke in the end. He ground and pounded.
He'd done his knee. He blew his ACL.
Oh,
he's sitting on the ground. He makes like a leg weave, pulls him to the ground. So Eunice is on top of him. A unit, the size of fucking Eunice.
He's a big dude, isn't he?
Somehow manages to get Mick, reverse the situation, moves the half guard, and then takes his back. You're like, man, that is. That's some hard work.
No, listen, you know, really, really. Great card again from Cage Warriors. Always deliver. And I'm intrigued now, kicking on in a couple of weeks' time here in Cork.
Who kept us up till 6 a.m. this week? It was Bellator.
Oh, I fell asleep. I'm not going to lie. I only watched it today. But I just hit the kip.
Did you not Saturday what night. You referenced as the dinosaur fight last week? Did you not watch that between Mirren
and
Nelson?
I did watch it, yeah, I did.
What do you think?
It was rubbish. It was just boring. It did what it said in the tin, man. And I don't know how Bellator keep continuing on like this. It sort of puzzles me a little bit, man. Like, there's so much good young talent and they're not really putting them at the top of the cards.
Speaking about young talent, how about this is what you do when you sign a red-hot prospect from Scandinavia. Put him in against Phil Davis in his debut. Jesus Christ.
Mental.
He absolutely overwhelmed him. Yeah. Like, I mean, of course he did. Yeah. Of course he did. Yeah. That's crazy matchmaking for me.
And then Phil Davis proceeded to call for a tournament.
Well, like, Albrechtsen should be fighting Carl Moore. He should be fighting Lee Chadwick. All these guys.
But I think they're running out of things to do with Davis, and they're going, "Oh shit, it's just sloppy matchmaking.
It's just
lazy matchmaking."
Albrechtsen, it's a ridiculous matchup. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Really disappointed with that. Ed Root and Jason Jackson had a fantastic fight, I believe. And finally, Jake Hager kicks a lad in the stones, has his fight called off. Is it? Do we put it down to inexperience again?
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Literally, yeah. Like, you know, they were both standing against the cage and he just gave him a full fucking knee to the balls.
A full knee to the balls is a flavor like no other.
Yeah. You know, I think if you have a few more, you know, 4, 5, 6 fights on your book, you're not doing that.
No.
And with the velocity he was done at as well, from the position they're in. I know shit happens, but it just looked very, very sloppy. And as you said, these inexperienced guys getting in there like
Greg Hardy.
Disappointing, but listen,
there's such a huge difference between like a Cyril Gane at 4-0 than a Greg Hardy at 5 and whatever the fuck he is, you know?
Different ballgame, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like from all the toy experience and everything. Douglas Lima and Rory McDonald, I actually quite enjoyed that fight. Douglas Lima definitely deserved the win.
We talked about it.
Yeah. Seemed like it was going to go that way. But Paul Daly. Whew,
vicious.
That left hook, man. Jesus Christ.
Never gets old.
It doesn't. You can watch it all the time.
Never gets old. I wouldn't like to be on the receiving end of it, but yeah, listen. Again, like, he's sort of in that pickle, Daly. Like, it's just a tough one. I reckon just...
Do him V. Solich. Do a KSW Bellator
card.
That
would be savage.
Right? Do DeFreeze, B. Bader.
Yeah,
do Daly, V. Solich. All at catch weight, so no title on the line, whatever, because that's going to cause too much fucking problems. Let's just have a bit of crack here, lads.
Bang, down. That would be savage.
Let's have
him
some crack.
Him and Solich would be fucking slick. I'd like to see that. I really would. I agree. I'm down with that.
All right.
There you go. I was pickled for a minute, but I was going to say, you know, MVP's...
But you're right in terms... In terms of Bellator, there isn't anything you're like, I'd love to see him, blah, blah, blah. Like, look, man, Saad Awad, come on.
Saad Awad, yeah.
Like, come on. Patrick Mix v. Isaiah Chapman.
Again.
Patrick Mix is phenomenal. We're very excited about him, basically.
Definitely.
That's just all we want to say. Another beautiful, elaborate submission win on the back of his debut win against Ricky Banderas.
Character as well.
Yes, I can't see Bellator rushing James Gallagher into a fight against Patrick Mix.
No, I think the more interesting one is Sergio Pettis. Pettis obviously signed...
Oh, shit, for who? For Patrick?
For Bellator. No, I think James Gallagher, you know, maybe in the next year, I think it's a fight Bellator might entertain. And there seems to be a lot of... I put out the tweet there when I heard he was signing, and there seems to be a lot of public interest amongst that fight. I think it is. I think it's a good test. Two guys that are very good on the ground. I think Sergio wins the stand-up battle, but Sergio's not known for his knockout power. I think it's a really good test for both guys, but... I don't think they will do. Not for at least another year. But I think it's one that would really get the... Imagine that
they'd
main
event. They
could
do a great bantamweight tournament now, couldn't they?
They could. Very well could.
They could redo a
but
really...
But that's what
really
fucks me off about Bellator. They have these, as we always talk about, these young guys, and then they just sort of get lost in... Pardon the pun, the mix. Right.
Do you want me to say something controversial?
Go on. Part of the featherweight tournament. They've done a great job.
Sergio Pettis fights James Gallagher. It's... the biggest, in terms of public interest, is the biggest fight of his career, I'd say.
I know, that's my whole point.
It would be, wouldn't it? Sergio Pettis.
That's
like,
my point,
I mean, look, this is a guy who fought Joseph Benavidez, Henry Cejudo.
He fought for a world title.
Yeah. But if he fought James Gallagher, it'd be bigger than those fights. That's what I think. In terms of public interest in Ireland.
Headline that here would be wild fight. That's what I'm saying. Do it maybe next summer, end of next year. Get Pettis in there, get him a fight. Maybe get James back in there again. And just, I think it's time now where we need to see something really sort of big test for James. I think we're at that point now. I know, you know, Sergio's only 26 as well. I think they're both young guys.
Can I just
say,
it'd
be fun.
Yeah, I disagree to a certain extent because I want to see the slow escalation. Like, I don't want to see, like they did last time, here's some dude you never heard of, here's Ricky Banderas. Like, they can't do that. That's not how you match make.
Yeah, I know, I understand that. Yeah, but like... Are we at that point now, though?
I'd start certainly considering. I'd love to see the Eleanor fight still. Like Cal Eleanor, give him Dom Wooding, guys like this.
Yeah, well,
we
don't know where Cal is at, obviously. Yeah. So.
No, he's cleared again.
Oh, is he being cleared again? Yeah. All right, great news. I didn't realize.
So
that.
I mean, do fights like that? Like show us, like put him against Wooding, put him against Cal Eleanor. Like you know what I mean? Like we don't have to throw him. And if he gets through them,
well, Sergio, in fairness, his last couple of fights, and I. Obviously, he was supposed to fight in December for the UFC, and then it was realized his contract was up, all this malarkey. But Sergio hasn't looked particularly good in his last couple of fights as well. I think he'd be the first
three
one to
losses
admit
in his
that.
Last five.
Yeah, so that's where we're at. But like, yeah, I would like to see that in the next 12 months anyway. I think it's something we could aim towards. And imagine having that here, man. That'd be a fucking great buzz of a fight to have here in Dublin. Really would.
Yeah,
it'd
be huge. So I guess that's everything we need to talk about. If we left something out, I'm unapologetic.
Tough shit. Yeah. Fuck off. There was too much on.
Let's get on to...
Oh, sorry. Jason McAteer was in the crowd as well. There you go.
At Bellator?
No, at Cage Warriors.
Well, you see how you've jumped topic there?
Sorry. No, I'm just saying. Yeah, that's what...
Yeah, don't really care. Let's move on. Let's get back to the Cage Warriors card. Thank you very much, Noel. And we will now speak to the champion, Joy Herbert, who made a very, very, very big declaration in terms of his future and his proximity to the UFC with a very, very one-sided win over Cain Carrizozo. This guy is exceptional. He's amazing to watch. And I wish him all the best. But let's have a word with Joy Herbert, and we will see you again in about 10 minutes. And now, as advertised, we are joined by the Cage Warriors lightweight champion, Joy Herbert, a man who has clearly shown us that he is ready for the UFC with a fantastic striking performance that resulted in the knockout of Kane Carrizozo in the main event of Cage Warriors 109 in his native Birmingham, England. Joy, it doesn't get much better than that, my friend. How are you feeling?
Mate, I'm ecstatic. I'm buzzing, man. I'm really happy, man. And I'm glad to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Oh, always, always, man. And I mean, this one looked like everything just came together, okay? Like, I mean, you had to come through a little bit of adversity, I'd say, against Jack in your last outing to win the title. But this was just one-sided, basically just an amazing showcase performance against a UFC veteran. I mean, what has the reception been like? I've seen Paddy Pimblett talking about how he thinks you are going to the UFC now. I've seen Leon Edwards on several occasions say that you are ready for this. I saw Graham Boylan immediately after the main event, and probably most importantly, Graham Boylan saying, this guy is ready. Does it feel like you've done enough finally to get that call up from the UFC? Because I certainly feel like you have.
Yeah, I feel like I've done enough, man. I mean, come on, like, what more do you want me to, do? You know what I mean? Like, freaking hell. That's like, four stoppages now in the last five fights? Four or five, something like that. And like, three of them have been in the first round, you know what I mean? And like, that one, the last fight there, obviously, you don't get any more clear than that, you know what I mean? It was a clear knockout, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know what more they want me to do, you know what I mean? Entertaining, you know, so I'm never in a boring fight. I always bring it. You know what I mean. So that's what they like. They like the entertainment. So they should sign me up, man.
Did you expect to get rid of him that quickly? Like, I mean, it just felt as though.
No, I didn't.
Right. Go ahead. Tell me about that.
I didn't. Go on. Sorry, finish your question. Sorry,
just saying, because I mean, it felt as though, I think 30 seconds in, you dropped him, and after that, I was just like, okay, this guy's on bought time now. Is that how you felt?
Yeah, after I dropped him, I thought that I smelled blood a bit. Then I thought, yeah, that's it. Then I'm getting him out of here. So I didn't really back up. Mm. And same as the last fight is Jack. Like I was on their side of the cage, like by his corner. I was like literally, if he I got the center, because basically I come out and he let me get the center. And as soon as you let me get the center, like I'm backing you up. You get me? And I'm landing shots on you. And I ain't backing back to my side of the cage. You're going back to yours, and I'm gonna be landing shots on you. You know what I mean? So, be honest with you, like you say, going back to what you first said in the question about did I expect to get him out of there so quick? I didn't. Like, to be honest with you, I watched some of his fights and that, and I noticed like he's not been stopped. So I had to say to myself in the head, like, look, you might hit this guy, you might hit him with the right hand or whatever, good shot, and he might be like, whatever, just like shake it off and not be like and keep coming forward. So I had to think to myself in my brain, look, this is a five. It's going to be five minute round fight. You know what I mean? You're going to have to just pick him apart. Keep picking him apart, and then, but then when I hit him with that right hand and he dropped, you know what I mean? It was if like, you know, he was just like, nah, I'm getting him out of there straight away. So that's how it went. So yeah.
Tell me about that knee, because it is ridiculous. Like, I mean, I feel like it's gone viral. I saw so many people, you know how many people sent me that knockout, even though I was watching it live? Like, so many fighters, coaches were like, holy shit, did you see this? I mean, that feels like it's the extra cherry on top, because of course the UFC are going to see that traction. But can you talk me through the knee? Did that just come to you in the moment, or were you thinking ahead of the fight that he would be susceptible to that?
No, I didn't. I mean, I watched a couple of his fights, and it seems pretty. I seen one of his fights where as soon as he gets in the clinch and he looks to break, he looks to throw an elbow. I mean, he did catch me with an elbow a couple of times. I've had a bit of a lump on my head. You know what I mean? So when I was in there, and I know his gym's pretty good at Muay Thai and stuff as well. But when I got in there and I got in the clinch with him, I felt strong in the clinch. You know what I mean? I've done that a few times with people. I felt strong in the clinch, and I just feel like sometimes I can just beat you up in here instead of just breaking away and giving you opportunity to throw like haymakers at me. I can just like beat you up in the clinch. So I had him in the clinch. I landed a couple of nice knees to the head and to the body, but I felt like it was coming. I was gradually breaking him down, and I got the two collar ties on him. I switched the two collar ties, and instead of throwing the left knee, I switched it to a right knee, and I don't think he's seen it because I was just throwing the left knee a lot in the fight, and then I switched it straight to the right knee, and then bang, that was it. It was done.
Yeah, it was fantastic. What does it feel like when you land something like that and you just see the guy going limp right in front of you? Because he was out on contact.
it's just like, oh, you know, it's all the anxiety and everything before the fight and that, and the and what was riding on the fight, you know what I mean? What was riding on the fight, you know what I mean? It was make or break, basically. And then he's just like that, and the referee jumps in. You're like, oh, it's just all the pressure just goes, man. He's just like, he's so relieved, like, that's what it is, really.
Does it feel bigger when you do that in, like, so close to home? I mean, did it feel crazy afterwards? I'm sure everybody is trying to get a word with you, get their arm around you, get a picture with you. Is that an insane feeling?
It was unbelievable. I said, like, I had so much pressure on me at first, and then I remember stepping out in the water on the walkout, like, and I was like, bloody hell, there was loads of people there, like, and it was like, I mean, they blacked out the arena, didn't they? And I was like, fuck yeah. I was like, fuck me, I'm getting treated like bloody royalty here. And like, them watching me, them, like, the camera had me, like, backstage, like, walking to the stage, and I was like, okay, you know. And then I've come out on the stage, and everyone's like on the feet and like cheering and shit. I'm like, fuck me, man. You know, even more pressure on me. But I just kept my head, like, and then I got in there and I just, you know, like, spotted the geezer out and around. Like, I was like, oh my god. I was just, it's just an unbelievable feeling, man.
Yeah, that was amazing. The whole thing, like, it was an incredible Cage Warriors card, I must say. But one of the things that stood out to me as well was Leon. Like, I've talked to Leon a number of times in person, over the phone, probably more often, but I've never seen him genuinely glow about someone as much as he does when he's talking about you. I mean, he was praising you left, right, and center every time he got an opportunity on that broadcast. And like, to me, Leon's been talking about UFC Birmingham for so long, and of course Breezy is still signed there, but a guy like you, who is so exciting to watch, who has obviously reverberated with the Birmingham people so much there, I mean, it feels inevitable that you're going to sign for the UFC, and it feels that they should make that move. But is Leon an important part of your camp, or is that just the whole team? Is that basically the way you guys are?
Yeah, man, it's just mad. I think, everyone really wants everyone to do really well in the camp, you know what I mean? Like I say, like you say, Leon's there, he's really helping me out with certain things. He has a Monday class there, Monday wrestling class. Everyone goes there, and it's like, it's a really, really good class, and he's very, very knowledgeable with things he says. Like, you know, he helps you out with all little stuff. And, you know, if you need anything, you need any help, you just ask him, you know, like, let you know little tricks and stuff. But yeah, like, everyone really wants everyone to do well, you know what I mean? And plus, obviously, because I'm from around there, it's just a good feeling to get like lads from, you know, around the Midlands, Birmingham, like, you know, so I think we should have a UFC in Birmingham maybe next year, probably, I think. So it's just a good thing. Like, obviously, if I get signed to the UFC, you know, Leon headlines it and that, you know, they could even, that could make other fighters, like the other pros in the gym, that could get signed as well if you get, you know, a card in Birmingham.
Yes.
So that's what usually happens, isn't it? Like, you know, because when there's a card that comes to a certain town, a couple of lads from that area, they might get signed, you know what I mean? They might get on the card. So it's a good thing, man.
Yeah, yeah. That was where I was going with that, to be honest with you, Joey. I was going to say, it kind of feels like this is building a lot of momentum, maybe more so in Europe than across the water at the moment. But it does feel like, to me, given Leon's position with the UFC at the moment, and I know he's still, a lot of people feel like he needs to have more clout internationally to get himself those big names, but he's owing a fight with Tyron Woodley now. If they came back to UFC, to Birmingham, they put on an event there, I feel it would be similar to what Conor did for Irish fighters, you know what I'm saying? Like, as in, he opened the door. Yeah, he opened the door, and all you guys are just primed to walk through, you know?
I thought that the other day, to be honest. It feels like that, you know what I mean? Especially when I come out there in Cage Wars and I walked out, and then afterwards, you know, and all the messages I'm getting and everything. And it, obviously, with Leon being, like, you know, the main guy there, I feel like if he gets the show in Birmingham, he's just going to open the door for me. And there's going to be a few others there who are going to come through. Like, it's going to be, yeah, man, it's wicked.
Yeah, do you feel like he's putting Renegade and Birmingham on the map? Because I certainly feel like he is, but like the most appealing part for me is like an onion. You just keep peeling back the layers. You have Fabian Edwards, you have Joey Herbert, you have you have Natoyas, you have all these guys that Renegade just seems to be absolutely swarmed with talent these days. So do you feel like he's putting you guys on the map?
Yeah, 100% he is, you know what I mean? And definitely is like this. The amount of talent in the gym, like you pointed on there, you got Breeze, you got Nefoyas, you got Fabian, you got Yannick, you got Aiden Lee. There's a few of us as well. Yeah. Ridiculous. Yeah, man. I feel like, you know, he's just like you're pointing on with the SBG, with Conor, like, he's just opening the doors for us as well. And it makes a bigger scene in the Midlands as well. There's going to be more kids coming through there, you know what I mean? More people getting into it, into the sport and that. And it's just good for the sport in it as well, in general, especially England.
Yes, absolutely. And it's great to see a different neck of the woods. You guys all talk different. You have a different vibe. I love that shit.
Yeah, yeah, we've all got that. Yeah.
It's really cool.
Peaky Blinders, eh? You know what I mean? Yeah.
But I got to ask you, right? Because, you know, if, like, the UFC call is a rare one to get. You certainly deserve it. We know Europe is pushing for you in that manner. We all want to see you in there. But if that call doesn't happen, a lot of people want to see this Mason Jones fight. So, I mean, on the condition that the UFC doesn't come, first of all, like, are you cool with that?
I honestly don't think Graham will make that fight, you know, to be honest, or Ian Dean. I feel like, no disrespect to anyone, but like they'll have to fly someone else in, man. Someone from Brazil or something, or another American or something for me to fight, because, like, I don't think that's a good step for me, going fighting guys like anyone else in the division, really, at the moment, because the UFC ain't gonna be seeing that as me being tested. I don't see any of them being testing me, to be honest with you.
You want a bigger statement?
Yeah, well, that's what I have to do. I have to go bigger. I don't know, you know what I mean? And all the other guys in the division, like, you know, I'm not a type of... I don't like to talk shit about people and all that things, you know, because I understand, like, my martial artist, you know what I mean? I've got respect for people and that, but I need bigger tests, man. I need bigger tests than these people in the division. So I'm sorry, but, like, that's how it is, bruv.
I've never heard you say this before either. Like, you know, to be fair, I've never heard you turning down fights. You take every fight that's put in front of you. But does the belt, and given all this UFC talk, does that put you in a nearly a different situation where you have to say, my next move is very important. I need to make sure it's the right opponent and the right statement I'm making to get on their radar. Is that the way you're kind of seeing it?
Well, yeah, exactly. Look, like, it's what Breeze did, you get me? I was like saying before the fight, like, I was saying to Breeze, like, oh, I was like, Usa fighting next, and I was like naming, well, not Usa fighting next, like who they might have given me next, like, oh, I was naming a couple of lads from the roster, like, and he's like, nah, man, we need to go international, we need to fight a geezer who's fought in the UFC, an ex UFC fighter, or someone who's doing bits in America, because like that's going to get you in the notice by the UFC, because like these guys ain't on your level. I need to be fighting better people, so that's what I'm going for. Like, if the UFC don't call, I have to go and fight someone else who's, like, killing it in America or something. So, you know, they have to get me in.
I understand.
You understand, like?
I do understand, yeah, absolutely.
Because, like, and another thing as well, some of these people are being, like, built up by Cage Warriors, and to fight me, it's going to be a bad move for them. For real, dog, you know what I mean? Like, because I'm a next-level kid compared to some of these guys, I'm telling you.
I have an apology to make before I get you off the phone, Joy.
Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Man, I am so... Do you know, I wrote it accidentally into the report because I was joking with someone about it. Because this is a problem, right? Because I said this genuinely serious that first time. And then everybody, of course, is giving out shit to me online. I got it wrong. Hands up. I know I did. Then I put it in the report by accident after the fight. And then Brad Wharton sends me a picture of they actually put it up on the graphics at Cage Warriors as well.
Yeah. I'm fucking watching it yesterday. My stepdaughter, she's gone, fucking hell, they put Black Country Badger there. Oh, fuck's sake. I was like, fuck's sake.
I'm very sorry, Joe.
And then my old man keeps sending me fucking media stuff like that. He keeps, because he's got always going online looking for stuff about me. He's got Black Country Badger in this, Black Country Badger in that. He's like, what the fuck's Black Country Badger?
It's a joke. It's an accidental joke that's taken on a life of its own. I apologize very much. I hope you don't feed me that right hand the next time you see me. Nah. That's my biggest fear. Man.
Nah, none of that, bro.
All right, but listen, Joy, thank you so much for your time again. Another stunning performance. What you've done from the Bama days to now is absolutely mind-blowing. You're brilliant. You're one of my favourite fighters to watch in Europe, and whatever happens next, I'll definitely be tuning in, and I think I can say the same for the rest of the European MMA community.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on the show, brother.
All the best, man. Talk to you soon, right? And thank you very much to Mr. Joy Herbert, the Black County Banger, not Badger.
Black Country Badger.
Is it Black? Ah, for fuck's sake.
He's from the Black Country. That's what they call it.
Isn't that the Black County?
No, no, no. The Black Country. It's like up around West Brom, Wolverhampton, Birmingham.
Sorry, Joy. I'll get it eventually, mate. I'll get it eventually. Look, you have to leave it with me, man.
Happy days. Happy days. Happy days.
So, I mean, it's the talk of the town.
UFC
244. Yes, indeed. The biggest card of the year, would you say?
Yeah. I think so. Is it?
Yeah.
Probably is.
Look, I mean, I feel like I was at two big events, the ones that came before this with Abu Dhabi, UFC 242, Habib against Poirier, and then, of course, UFC 243 with the arrival of the biggest star to be in the UFC, Whittaker and Adesanya.
Yeah.
But I think the star power that this one has straight off the bat, like, we're not talking about creating a star as much as two bona fide stars and Jorge Masvidal and Nate Diaz going head to head, and that co-main event is outstanding. Kelvin Gastelum v. Darren Till. Did I call him Masvidal?
No, that's the American skull.
Sorry, I was like, all right. Where are you at with this? Let's talk about the main news coming out of this. Diaz and another USADA U-turn when it suits them, which I don't like.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think,
like, if it's either fucking black and white, yeah, or get rid of it. Yeah, like, no, it's fucking Brock Lesnar, Nate Diaz, John Jones. I said this straight away. They're going to turn this around. They're going to completely absolve them of this. And then all of the other people, Sean O'Malley, John Jones, I fully understand those guys talking about, like, fuck this.
Yeah.
You know, even though John Jones has benefited from the rub of USADA before.
You know, we've talked about this for God knows how long. And I think, you know, coming out with this flagging bullshit before, you know, they actually have everything and all the tests, and they figured out everything as a fucking piss take. And, you know, it's painting guys with a brush that should not be allowed. And it should not happen. And it's very damaging to guys' careers, man. It really is.
Well, first of all, the fighters should have been involved in any decision-making process that USADA were having with the UFC, because these guys, a lot of them, I'm not talking about Nate Diaz, but, you know, I'm sure you could look down that card and find someone who's on a living wage, basically, from the UFC. And the fact that they have to give up where they're going to be 24 hours a day, it's bullshit. It's bullshit. There should have been a lot more fighter interaction making this deal. For me now, it's completely gone. It's a circus. So I don't give a shit about USADA anymore. I understand. Look, I want clean sport, but when the criteria isn't black and white for every fighter and every fighter is given the same treatment, then fuck it. I don't care.
No, I agree. I think it's become so messy, so fractured. I think the word is a good word to use with the whole process of USADA. And I do. I agree.
And look, I know that Nate Diaz hasn't taken steroids. Yeah. I get it. I don't think he is. I've never even suspect him of it. That doesn't matter. That's not what I'm talking about.
And he's right to make that statement and you know, ask for the UFC and USADA to issue him a
full
apology.
The knee. That's what they did.
USADA bend the knee. And rightly so, because...
Well, you know, I don't know if it's rightly so. That's the one part that I'll disagree with. Like, yeah, of course, we know, we're very confident in Nate Diaz.
But it shouldn't have happened. But they, you know, when they fucked up, you know, he obviously wants to fight. He comes back. They should be bending the knee to get him back in there.
But if they're bending the knee, go away. Where's Sean O'Malley?
Yeah, it shouldn't be happening. I totally agree.
14 months gone. His career, his prime gone. Yeah. 14 months. It looked like he was going to be one of the biggest stars in the sport.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not arguing, but, like, where do you stand then in terms of, you know, should the UFC just go fuck off? I know they've just signed a new 5-year deal during the summer there. So
they need to look at the criteria and make it black and white.
But we've been saying this for God knows how fucking long.
They need to involve the fighters. The fighters, just get a fucking union together, lads. Jesus Christ, like, it's so, like, how are you all going to come together and act as one body in a situation like this if you don't have a body? You know, it's just
that's not going to happen. The pay discrepancies are too much.
And they say, why don't you guys talk about this to the media members?
Yeah, what are we doing?
Sort your life out, lads. Like, do your own shit. Like, you know, to be honest, that's more your business than it is ours.
Yeah, it's a total mess, though. And you know, we talk about the updated lists, and you know, there's not an awful lot done with that. And Jeff Nowitzki was harping on about that before, that they're going to constantly make an effort over the next 6 months to update these lists so fighters can know what they're putting their body in terms of tainted supplements. What a load of shit. They've done nothing about it.
All I'm saying is that MMA fighting comes up to me and say, Petey, we're going to need you to take some drug tests from now on. I'm going to say an extra six figures every year, please.
No, I agree. It's a farce. And I think, you know, the UFC, especially after this one, it's going to cost them a lot of money down the line as well. You know, it is costing them a lot of money to have this testing in place. If it's not right, it's messing up their pay-per-view cards. They're going to have to seriously review something or get something done about this. Again, and I think this is sort of a theme we've used over the last few weeks, shit or get off the fucking pot, boys.
Absolutely. Darren Till...
or get off the porcelain.
There you go. We have our own one now. Darren Till had a media day last Friday in Nottingham. I didn't go because my face was smashed to pieces. But I have to say, after listening to him speak about this Kelvin Gastelum match, not that I think it's a good idea all of a sudden, but I understand of it a hell of a lot more. Like, I understand his mindset. I respect his mindset. And I don't, like, it's given me a bit more belief, as in, this is something I've always said about Till, that him and McGregor are most similar in the fact that he can make you believe. And when I was listening to him speak about it, I was going, shit, he's convincing me again, man, even though he's on this two-fight skid. But
maybe
I still don't like it.
Maybe he can do it.
Yeah. No, that's it.
I admire
how confident he is, but I still don't think it's a good idea from the UFC. But it's definitely given me more intrigue ahead of this fight, and think it's way more of a contest than I initially did.
Yeah, and I listen, the one thing I am going to say about this is it fucking pisses me off, people shitting on Darren Till, going, oh, you know, what an idiot for taking this fight. And listen, right, at the end of the day, you know,
I don't think anyone said that. I think UFC.
A lot of the fans have said it.
They were like, UFC, why are you matching these fighters? And I think that's perfectly acceptable.
Listen, we were the first ones to probably feckin' say it. Yeah. You know, we didn't totally agree with this matchup and Darren taking this fight against a guy like Kelvin Gastelum, who's coming off, obviously, that feckin' interim title fight against Israel Adesanya, which was a slobber knocker. But, you know, in terms of translation and how fresh Darren might feel, you know, you talked about his brain earlier on off air, you know, obviously the dehydration of the brain when he's cutting so much weight.
Obviously it's taken away from the water that surrounds your cranium that allows you to absorb blows. So if you do get a big hit, it's more likely to knock you out if you're dehydrated.
Exactly. So Darren's going in here, you know, going to be way more comfortable making the weight.
He looked like a machine gun at that fucking open workout, man.
That's what I'm saying.
You could hear the media lads like, holy shit.
But even the gas tank, the way everything's going to translate over, like, maybe we could see Darren. It is a risk regardless. But if Darren goes out and sparks him, and if you look at the Israel Adesanya fight, see, he's making me fucking believe now here again, right? If you look at the Adesanya fight and Gastelum fight.
Whose fight? All right, sorry. Yeah,
if you look at that fight in terms of, you know, Darren striking, you know, you can hurt Kelvin. Kelvin can get hurt, and it doesn't take an awful lot in terms of that left hand if Darren Till's thrown at you.
I mean, one of the best strikers really in the world punching in the face, it probably does take a lot to hurt Kelvin Gastelum, you know?
No, I don't mean it like that. I'm talking about in terms of Darren Till laying, you know, strikes on him. You know, you can't stay such there and big, take it all day. He's such a big dude, man.
But one thing I will say intriguing. Is, like, you mentioned gas tank there. I don't think the losses to Woodley or Masvidal had anything to do with a gas tank.
No, I'd be talking about the gas tank in terms of, you know, in his training, not having to cut the weight 3 weeks beforehand. You know, he's going to feel a lot more replenished.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Maybe it's the wrong word I use, but yeah, that's how I feel. And I think, listen, it's going to be a fascinating match. And, you know, as you said there, the fucker has done it again.
He's made us believe.
He's made us think.
Can I just ask you one thing? He did say that whether Israel Adesanya wins or loses to Paulo Costa, and he said, I don't give a shit about the title. He said, whether Israel wins or loses to Costa, I think I should fight Israel next. I don't, like, when you hear that and you see it written down, you're like, what are you talking about, mate? But I wouldn't put it past the UFC. Like, why did they make that fight? Yeah. Why did they make Kelvin Gastelum v Darren Till if they didn't expect him to go straight into a title conversation?
Listen, I think maybe the UFC might be a bit more confident here in what Darren Till can do than we are.
Yeah.
It's not. Maybe they know something. I don't know, but it is interesting. And, you know, I wouldn't put it past Darren Till because Darren is this sort of knack, as you said. If he does go out and spark him, why wouldn't they do it?
Yeah.
And they've been, you know, and traditionally over the last couple of years, they've been fucking striking while the iron's hot.
Look, man. And what about that for the middleweight division? First, you have Costa v Adesanya, and then potentially Costa v Till or Adesanya v Till. And there's a lot of political ramifications to Paulo Costa v Darren Till in the Brazilian communities.
Massive.
Because as far as I know, and I'm sure people are going to be annoyed about me saying this, but I've heard that Paulo Costa is very much on the the right side of things, you know, as in the conservative view of things.
Right, okay, yeah.
Like, really conservative.
Yeah.
And where Darren Till's very liberal, as we know. Yeah. But that'd be interesting. But will we see, it's such a good main character, we may as well go through the whole thing. Vicente Luque is a violence king.
Violence king.
But will he be able to be violent against Stephen Thompson? Like, we've seen even the likes of Till, he was incredibly violent at the best of Till, is very violent. We saw him kind of lured into a far more tentative fight with Stephen Thompson.
Yeah, I think the way Luque fights, he might take a leaf out of Anthony Pettis's book. And I know Pettis was probably getting a little sparked up as well.
Just
by
nearly
Thompson.
Allow Thompson to come on.
That's what I mean.
Give him confidence.
Come in and then wrap him with a few.
It's a dangerous game to play against Thompson, though. But,
like, Thompson is such good fight IQ that it's hard really to do anything else. And we've seen that, you know, the Woodley fight. And Woodley stitched him at one in the first fight. Second fight was largely sort of forgettable in many people's eyes with the lack of, 17 strikes or something, the whole fight.
Stellar.
But yeah, I think it's a fascinating fight. And it's interesting where Stephen is going to be at as well. You know, he's had numerous knee surgeries again, been out on the break for a while. It's a make-or-break fight for Wonderboy. I think he needs a win here badly, man, if he wants to stay around that, you know, conversation. And if not,
right, yeah,
move him up.
Blagoy Ivanov versus Derek Lewis. I don't think this is a good fight for Derek Lewis, and I feel like there will be good betting odds on Blagoy. That's all I'm going to say to you people in Europe.
Yeah, but you know, Derek.
Yeah, I mean, stranger things have happened.
You know,
ask Volkov.
His balls were hot and he pulled that one out of the bag. Yeah, exactly. So
I'll be sending him all types of creams to cool his bollocks down.
You don't know what the fuck to expect off Derek Lewis. It's simple as that. Like, he could be battered for fucking 2.5 rounds and then come back and just boom.
Yeah.
And land you a shot and you're done. Like, so.
Is there anything?
This will never ride out Lewis. No, never.
Is there anything Blagoy could do to guarantee that Derek's balls will be cold when they fight? Serious question.
Very weird question. I don't know.
No. Kevin Lee v. Gregor Gillespie. Gregor finally getting that step up. That's a really good fight, isn't it?
Last fight, man. It's a really good fight. That's Kevin. It's going to be very interesting. He's gone back down, isn't he? You're just like...
The 170 experiment didn't go as planned.
Yeah, and we talked about Kevin as well before. I just think he's a little bit... He's just a little bit maybe lost at the moment, and he's trying to find where's the perfect fit. Obviously, the tragic death of a great guy in Robert Follis really sort of rattled him, I think, to his core.
He's spoke a lot more about that.
He has. And, you know, Kevin's a good dude. And I remember we sat down in Belfast with actually Rob and Kevin and had a drink with them.
That was just you. That wasn't me.
And, was it? Just, we had a few anyway. But, like, yeah, Kevin's a lot different, I think, away from the angry guy we used to see. You know, when he's outside, he's actually a really nice dude. And this is a really, really good fight, man. Gillespie's been, as you said, calling for that one. So I'm interested to see what sort of we're going to see from Kevin Lee here.
I'm more interested in what we're going to see from Gillespie.
Are you? I just think it's intriguing with Lee that he's been sort of underwhelming in his last couple of fights and, you know, mentally not in a good place. But he does seem to be back at that level now.
But he seems to be right thereabouts at 155.
Yeah, he does.
Toilet conversation was.
He does. I think this is a fight for Gillespie that will obviously elevate him into that top 10 and go, you know, I'm here to stay. And I think he needed that.
Either that or Kevin Lee's right back on track and he's after dispensing one of the best prospects in the 55.
Well, that's it. You know, it is one of those fights and... You know, I think we're going to see something here from Kevin Lee. I think he's had that period of trying to find himself. And he's been working a little bit all over the place. He's back up at home. And I think he was up in Rufusport for a while. Mm. Then he's gone up to Canada now. So it's good. It's going to be, great card. Love that fight as well. I think that could be a standout fight of the night one there.
Corey Annesley, Johnny Walker is a serious fight as well. Massive ramifications. As we said last week, we didn't think that Reyes had done enough to really absolutely guarantee himself that John Jones fight. John Jones doesn't seem too intrigued by it. I think Johnny Walker's the type of guy that could light a fire in Jones because he's so explosive and wild in there. But Corey Anderson's a hard fight at the moment.
Yeah, you don't look
Corey's
over,
deadly now.
You don't look over Corey.
He's a changed man.
He is.
Since that Manoa knockout, we both were in London for a week.
No, that was a bad one. And you know, Corey's so many tools as well. You know, really solid boxer, great, really good wrestler. He's a guy that can nullify fights, and I think he could be a guy that could really give Johnny a lot of problems here. And if that fight goes the sort of way that Corey wants to make it, grindy, gritty, in your face, it could be a little bit of an upset here. And I sort of fancy Corey Anderson to win this. I don't know why, man.
Yeah, same here. Just one more from a European perspective that we'd like to highlight. It's Makwan Amerkani's US debut against Shane Burgos. Tough old debut in the US, but definitely one we'll be intrigued to see. Yeah. Also on the card, from a European perspective, we have the great Andrei Arlovsky from Belarus, who has taken on Jairzinho Rozenstruik. And
I didn't even know he was still fighting.
And Noel is such a big fan of what Andre is doing at the
come
moment.
On, lads, Jesus.
Right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to run through the card and pick just very quickly on a select few fights. Masvidal v. Diaz, go.
Oh, fuck. you start with the worst one.
We go backwards. We go backwards. You're right. Right, we'll start off with Chookagian, who should be in the flyweight title mix against Moya. Chookagian, I can remember Calderwood speaking in Abu Dhabi about this. She was like, if she wasn't so boring, she probably would be fighting for the title, you know? You know, they obviously had a very close fight there. Chookagian v. Moya, who you got?
I'm going to go with Caitlin Just. I think she'll grind out a decision and too quick on the feet and too elusive.
Agree. Shane Burgos v. Makwan Amerikani.
I will go...
that's a tough one.
Burgos. That.
I'll go Amerikani just for the crack, but I think it's a very hard fight. Corey Anderson v. Johnny Walker.
Unpopular against our local Sandy Mount resident here, but I just have a feeling here Corey's going to be able to make this fight go the way he wants it.
Yeah, I think he has too much for him too. I really do. Yeah, I'm going with Corey too. Kevin Lee versus Gregor Gillespie.
Kevin.
I'm going Gregor.
Okay.
Lewis v. Ivanov.
Derek with something mental. At the last minute, he'll knock him out.
I'm saying
he'll get whooped for the fight, and then he'll do something.
I'm going to say Ivanov decision. Thompson v. Luque.
Fuck. I find it hard that Thompson's going to make the same mistakes again. I think we could see something very violent from Stephen Thompson.
Oh,
here.
Shit.
And I think Luque has that in his pocket as well. Obviously, we the guy's a killer. I'm a big fan of Luque's. I think Stephen needs to do something here. And I think we're going to see Stephen Thompson win this. I can see it go either way, though.
I'm going to go Thompson decision there again. Gastelum v. Till. How much do you believe?
Fuck, he's done it again. I'm going to fuck it. I'll pick it from the crack. I'll go Darren Till, violent knockout in the second.
I'm going to go Calvin Gastelum submission. You're right. You are right to make me do this in reverse order. Jorge Masvidal v. Nate Diaz, motherfucker. It's 5x5. Like, that's so good that it's 5 rounds, man. Oh my God.
It is.
This could go 5 rounds.
It is. Listen, I'd love to see Till Gastelum 5 as well. I think this, I'm harping on this for God knows how long. I love UFC needs to do something in 2020 about co-main events, non-titled. They need to be 5 rounds. A lot of them, if they have implications.
All right, Masvidal beat Diaz, though.
Okay,
yeah.
Masvidal versus Diaz. I'm going to go Diaz. I think the volume of boxing in your face, it's going to be a slobber knocker on the feet. If, obviously, Nate decides to go to the deck, he could possibly get a submission, but I do expect him to stay on the feet, and I think his volume, Christmas of boxing, is going to be the difference here, but I think we're in for a fucking war, yeah.
I agree with you. I am going Diaz, very much so. But I'd also like to remind people that it was the doubt Masvidal had going into his Till and Askren bouts that made him this big star that he is right now.
Well, if he goes in there and starches fucking Diaz, the sky's the fucking limit, man.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. He can do it. He's shown us he can do it.
But I think he's too savvy to get submitted by Diaz. He's not known for his submission skills or whatever, but when you train ATT, he's very comfortable in shit situations.
Yeah.
You know, incredibly comfortable.
He is. He's comfortable anywhere.
I think so. I just have a feeling Diaz by decision. I think both of them have stellar gas tanks.
Yeah.
Both of them are unbelievable boxing. I think it's fair to say Masvidal probably packs more power with his last two KOs.
That's what I'm saying. In his last two fights, he's found that element.
Knees you can't really judge as stopping power, because anyone that's running through the air and throwing a technique like that is going to have a lot of power. But his knockout with Till was fucking savage.
It was. And, the thing is, he's not going to allow... Diaz is not going to allow him any sort of space in this fight. He's not going to let him create a range. And I think that's where the fight's going to be won. It's going to be contested in the pocket. And I think that's where Masvidal is going to struggle to really land a bomb.
Here's one for you. Just last one on this card. If it goes as we predict it will go and Diaz wins, do you think he even mentions Conor's name in his post-fight? Like last time, everyone expected it's going to be Conor, and he says Masvidal, and he makes the biggest fight of the year. Where does he go?
No. I don't think he does it because I think he knows Conor. Like Conor's come out and said, and they've both sort of said it, and I know it was a very smart move the last time. We talked about that it got McGregor interested again, but, you know, Conor's done the press conference this week, and it is very much looking like either Cowboy or Gaethje, and then we're going to, you know, he's laid out that plan, as you said. So, in theory, regardless of what he said, it doesn't really make sense at the moment, in my opinion. So, what does Nate want to do? Does he want the title? Does he give a fuck about the title? Is it, you know...
I don't like either of those fights for him.
Yeah.
Usman or Covington. I do like GSP.
Yeah. No, I don't like either of them fights either. But
I don't like GSP in terms of a matchup, but I do like it in terms of a marquee.
Yeah.
Like, I think that will appeal to Diaz because of the amount of money he could make from that. Rather than, as he has said himself, Usman and Colby, he doesn't think they're big business. And look, compared to a Diaz, Masvidal, he's right. Like,
he is right, and it's going to be interesting to see where he goes after.
Masvidal wins, they're going to have to do. It is a tough Colby, one. Regardless of what happens between Usman and Colby, I think.
Yeah, I think if Covington was to beat Usman, and I think he's every chance of beating Usman. Mm-hmm. I'm not ruling Colby out at all of that fight, and a lot of people seem to be for some reason.
Very even skill sets, both of them.
Very even skill sets, and you know. It would be fascinating just in terms of shit talk and the way both guys conduct themselves. Diaz and fucking Covington would be great crack, I think. I really do. I'd love to see that happen. Whether it happens or not, whether Nate's interested in that.
Covington has to make himself a big star in December if that's going to happen.
Yeah. And I don't see the GSP thing happening because, like, I'm not
UFC
sure.
UFC don't even want to do business with him.
Yeah. And, like, GSP, like, you know, can he even fight at 170? It wouldn't make sense for Nate really to go above 170. It's sort of dead in the water for me. So,
well, I think GSP can definitely fight at 170 because he ruined his body trying to make middleweight. Even just stay at that weight, like.
Yeah, does it interest me? Not really.
Doesn't it? With the revenge plot with him and Nick all those years.
You know, GSP doesn't really sell that shit. Like, so, yeah. Yeah, but no. Yeah. I'd definitely watch it, but I think, you know, why won't fucking Nate go after a title? Go after the title. Give it a shot. Give it a run. I know he goes, fuck the titles. It's not about the titles. But how interesting would that scenario be?
I don't know. It's just they've kind of cheapened their titles themselves.
Well, they all have, yeah.
Like, just in terms of the UFC, I can see why he's going to, like, fuck the titles, go after the money. Because the titles, there's interim champions, there's lads getting title shots off one fight win streak, you know?
Well, listen, he's the option of 55 as well. There's fights there to be made. I think there's still a lot of fights there to be made for him. And why not sort of smash back down there? But listen, let's get this one out of the way, see what happens, and I do think he'll be victorious on Saturday night. There's just so much you can sort of do at night, and so, he can bring up people as well. I think we forget that, as you said there earlier on, like with Masvidal. Where is there a star in the UFC where they want to go, oh fuck, let's, you know, this guy could potentially beat Nate, you know, he's up at that level, let's bring this guy up and put some fucking eyes on him. It happened with Masvidal. They need to start bringing along other pay-per-view stars as well, because we're pretty short in them at the moment, Petey.
That's true. So we'll cap it off there, and we can talk some shite now for the next few minutes.
But we talk shite the whole show, so what's the point?
Let's not divide it up into a section. But do you think you're going to go to that January 18 card?
We'll see. Maybe. If someone's to fucking butter me paw. And listen, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I think it would be probably a shame not to go because I think, you know, something always fucking happens with that fella.
Yeah.
So, anytime I go to a fight card in the States as well, something mental happens. So if I'm there, it's more likely to be cooler.
The last fight I went to see of Conor's is Eddie Alvarez. And I can just imagine how much has changed in 2 years.
Well, that's the interesting thing.
Like, I mean, when I went over, all I kept ringing you when you're at Mayweather and Habib was, how many Irish people are there? How many Irish people are there? And it was very conflicting reports, but of course I believed Niall McGrath and Phil O'Connor, who had been at all the previous fights. But I'd love to just see it for myself, you know? Is it the plastic Paddy McGrath?
Yeah, it will be.
I'm from Dublin, Ireland.
Well, that's what happened to the Habib fight. There was very few. There was a lot of Irish people there, but a lot of them, because the UFCA priced their fans for that fight as well. Tickets, cheapest ticket for that fight were $350 for the Habib fight in T-Mobile. So a lot of Irish people actually went over, man, for the fight, but actually didn't go to the fight. They just stayed there for the party. But inside the arena, there were way more plastic patties. Definitely.
Lovely. Definitely. Lovely.
But listen, I will probably go. Yeah.
We are going to be heading to the Cage Warriors Media Day tomorrow, Tuesday, the day this comes out. We will be at that Media Day as you're listening to this. Really getting excited for that now.
Yeah.
Only 2 weeks away. Still haven't got my fucking car yet, but hopefully I will be sorted out in time for them.
I'm excited to see, obviously, Reese McKee at welterweight.
Yeah.
And obviously Ian Garry as well. A kid who just looks so impressive under Chris Fields and the lads there. Team, what's it again?
KF.
Jesus, sorry.
Jesus Christ.
my brain is melted from talking about what 700 different fight cards. But interesting, onto Reeves there, on texting there last week, and he's just buzzing to get down to Cork, and he said he's gonna prove the world why he should be in the Ultimate Fighting Championship. So very interesting. Couple of weeks ahead in terms. It's good just to have Cage Warriors back as well, man. We've missed them, and obviously Bellator sort of dominated the market here. So let's just hope the show.
Well, they dominated the market because no other promotions could come in, really.
Yes, well, that's what I'm trying to get at.
I don't want any legal action coming my way. So
yeah,
that's what people were saying. Yeah. Allegedly,
that's what the man on the street was saying. But I think we all know that, and it is. It's going to be good, and I think. Just to have another option for pro fighters to get on fight cards here is...
it's the path of the UFC.
Huge, and it is.
And that's why it's getting boring for Irish people at the moment, because we have Joe Duffy, who is pretty inactive, to be fair. Conor McGregor, who Lord knows when he's going to fight again. He says January 18th.
Yeah, we don't know.
You know? But so it's good to have that interest.
Bellator doing themselves no favours.
They're selling out cards here. We can't really ask for much more, but... they could definitely make some more compelling fights.
Yeah.
Right, we're going to leave it there. We talked a lot of shite for you. We're back in the same room for the first time in about 3-4 weeks. So, love yous loads. See yous next week. And enjoy.
Just go home. I'll get out of my fucking house.
Enjoy UFC 244. Biggest card of the year. Mwah.